Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Woo! God, I'm super stoked about today's show. Thank you so much for coming. I am indeed Golden Hawk, and you have just entered another reality show where synchronicities and divine experiences abound. Right now, today, I'm in the midst of doing my flashback series, which are shows where guests who have played with me before years ago, 3-4 years ago, when I was still working at WARL in Providence, Rhode Island, and very much on the path of being in radio, but oh my goodness, from a very different perspective than I have today. And some extraordinary, there really is no other way to say it. Extraordinary information has come into light today, literally just moments before the show came on. And I can't wait to share it with all of you guys firsthand and as it unfolds, because it has everything to do with my beloved guest, Chuck Gallagher, but I haven't even discussed it really with him. So first, please help me welcome Chuck Gallagher to the show. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Hey, it is great to be on, Goldie. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So, oh, my God, Chuck. I mean, can I just share things as they unfolded for me? I mean, is
however
there,
you want. Girl, is fine with me.
Well, and you recognize that I'll be sharing parts of you, and that's okay? To,
sure.
You know, and you,
not a problem.
Okay.
I'm transparent,
okay.
So that's not an issue.
Yeah, right on. So am I. You know? You know, you think that has something to do with messengers? I think it
yeah,
does,
maybe
to
so.
Be quite honest. Okay, so... Oh, my God. Okay, so I haven't spoken of this in a while. Me and Chuck first met, I believe it was 2009. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's
absolutely correct.
Okay, so in 2009, I was an affiliate of the station WARL, and Greg Norman, who had created a radio network of spiritual shows. And me and Greg were trying to create sponsorship and, you know, marketing and all sorts of the business aspects around radio shows, the radio station. And, you know, it was a huge experience for me. I had never done something like that before. And we were making cold calls. And I got it into my head that, it would be great if I could connect with a motivational speaker. That was something that really stuck with me, that if people were going to support the show, people who understood what the meaning of support was would probably, you know, fit right into supporting the show. So I come across Chuck Gallagher and his YouTubes. And in a nutshell, Chuck is a motivational speaker who, and this is the part I just so loved about Chuck, he had become a motivational speaker by first being a criminal, getting caught, going to jail, coming out, then he became the motivational speaker. And, you know, as you guys all know, I just absolutely resonate with the idea that we, the choices we make in our life, as dark as they may appear, in my humble opinion, are completely on path and on point to becoming the ascended beings and living in this wholeness and this reality that is way more than the third dimensional five senses reality we've been taught is what is life. I mean, I'm talking about way deeper than that. So, and actually, Chuck, I'm actually going to let you explain it only because I didn't know your perspective, and I'll be honest with you. My listeners hear me all the time. Okay, so So I call you up, and I call you up and say, I would love to, you know, tap your brain into your marketing skills. And you basically go, well, I'm not really here to sponsor your shows, but you were like, I do have some skills in marketing. You know, if you'd like, I can come down to Providence, Rhode Island, and kind of work, you know, walk you guys through, you and Greg, through the potential of, you know, getting sponsors that are locally locally located.
Yeah, because okay. when you first started and you called me and you were all enthusiastic and that's you and that's so you, and you were like, you know, I've been a motivational speaker, would be good on the radio, and wouldn't you like to be on this show? And I'm sitting back thinking to myself, in North Carolina, well, yes, I'd love to be on this show, except it's in Providence, Rhode Island. And so if I'm spending money in advertising or going to be associated with something, then it would need logically to be somewhat geographically connected to where I provide my service. So Goldie and I, you and I, got to talking about this, and it was like, so look, if you're going to do this, then why don't we focus on people who naturally would be inclined to buy the service for your radio station there in Providence? And then we started talking about different kinds of businesses. And, you know, we all have talents. And one talent I have is marketing. I can, you know, if somebody says, I've got a widget, well, we can talk about how you can sell your widget. And, in fact, my wife and I today, I'll just give you this little side note because it illustrates the point
definitely.
So well. She was looking for some rocks, actually crystals. And there were specific ones she was looking for with specific properties. And so we were thinking we had to go to Asheville, North Carolina to find it, but we found this store in Greenville, South Carolina, where we live. And so we went out today at lunch to look at what they had. And we've got our little crystal book, and we're walking through this store, and these two brothers who were twins who had the personality of a rock were running this store. And I don't mean that mean, but I mean really, they weren't particularly personable. And we're sitting there, and I mean, they were bringing up jewelry to her because since she was female, they assumed she wanted jewelry. And it was, no, we're not interested in rubies and stuff that's been cut and put into some sort of bauble. We're interested in rocks that have specific properties, and we want them in their natural form. And we walked out thinking, you know, these guys have great inventory, but the marketing side of it is just abysmal. And I say that to say, because you and I started with something that was very earthy. It was, when I say earthy, I'm Goldie, and I work for a radio station, and I'm supposed to be selling this product, and I think you'd be a good choice. And we get to talking about the real practical day-to-day, I'm living in this earth, kind of how do I sell radio.
Right.
But what happened from that was, instead of me buying, the reality was, it's like, well, why don't you come up and do some consulting with us? Help us understand how do we take it where we need to go.
Right.
And, you know, here's the thing, Goldie. You were expecting me to fly up to Providence, and we were going to carry on a conversation, you and Greg and I, and we were going to talk about how to market the product. And that's
right.
Exactly what I thought when I flew in. Landed, right. Went, sat down with you guys, and I think when Greg picked me up at the airport, it started in the car, and it started going down a way that Spirit wanted it to go that had freaking nothing to do with buying and selling advertising and shows on a radio station.
Right.
But we didn't know that because Spirit was working as Spirit works, not as we were thinking we were guiding the process.
Okay.
Does that make
sense?
Oh,
don't stop. I love that. I'm telling you, Chuck, you have a beautiful way of expressing this. It's beautiful.
Well,
so.
And you know, and we were sitting there. From my experience, now yours was, you know, we all have experiences from the set of eyes that we see things through. But, you know, I'm sitting there with Greg, and we're carrying on a conversation, and I'm starting to get this, you know, this is, this is really a little bit deeper than just the, how do I sell ads or shows on a radio station? And then you came in and brought in an entirely different set of energy. And, okay, well, this is cool. And, you know, for those people who listen to your show regularly, they know your energy, which is just
right.
powerful. And so, you know, we're sitting there, and your energy is a zing. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a five-hour energy drink. You know, that energy is just spread throughout the room. You know, Greg's over there kind of being kind of halfway calm, and I'm sitting in the middle mediating between Mr. Calm and the five-hour energy drink that's taking place, and it's like, well, this is really interesting.
Indeed, indeed.
And,
well,
you know, and the
you know, okay.
Go ahead.
No, please, please. No, 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 you go.
Well, the question that popped up was, well, why am I really here? Because what Greg was saying when he and I had some time from the airport to where we met really was spiritual. And it was like, huh. You know, I'm just not really getting the this is your typical radio guy. And, okay, well, let's see where this goes. And then connecting with you, it was bringing it in at a different spiritual dimension. And then you took me to the hotel. And as we drove to the hotel, I do what I do, which is ask questions. And those questions started really opening an entirely different set of doors that made the experience that we had for the several days that I was there profoundly different for everyone. And I don't think anyone anticipated what that was going to be on the front side.
I totally agree. Nor did I. Because I love it. See, you're setting up the stage. I tend to tell stories very schizophrenically, so this is why I like that you're setting up the stage, because I definitely want to share what happened to me today, you know, concerning that time, but it's important that you're setting up the situation so they know what the hell I'm talking about. Thank you, Jaybird. So you're called in, and within the first day that you're with us, it's obvious that this is not going to be your average, you know, sales and marketing meetings. And before I share with you what I got from what I read today, so what were you thinking at that point?
Well, you know,
that's
an interesting question. When I went up there, this is the mindset, okay? Now, here I am, I'm just average person in the world, and you call and you say, well, why don't you come up and do some consulting with us? And I'm sitting there thinking at the time, yeah, okay, that's really cool. I mean, I've done radio in Dallas, Texas, and that's really neat, but I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to go up and I'm going to do some consulting with radio station. Okay, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The ego now starts to kick in because, you know, if I do some consulting with the radio station in Providence, Rhode Island, then I can market that and say, Chuck Gallagher is a radio consultant. And I'm sitting there. I mean, I had this whole vision played out because you guys were going to just sell it and it was going to rock and roll and I was going to be able to, you know, use that as a marketing platform to do consulting with radio. And I mean, I was all there.
Okay.
And then I got there. And the reality after day number one was, we ain't gonna be talking about radio, not
exactly. It's so funny.
And I don't know where this is gonna go, but it isn't going where my big ego thought it was going, and it's okay.
Mm.
And the unique part of it, and this Goldie, I have to say to you, and to the folks who are going to be listening, when you express your, you know, experience that you've had today, this will really start to make more sense because the reality of what happened for me was I all of a sudden became a conduit. Now, I didn't go in with the intent, I'm going to be a conduit for something spiritual. That wasn't the thought. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But the reality was I was somehow becoming a conduit. And what really hit me in the days when we were there was somehow it was like really weird to me, because I wasn't accustomed to this, but somehow there was this message from Spirit that just kind of came through the air. It's almost like downloading a song from iTunes. It's like, how does it get from the air to my phone? I don't know how it does that, but it's just freaking cool. So somehow Spirit was sending these messages, and it was kind of like I was hearing them. In fact, I would say I was hearing them, but no one else could. I mean, that's the kind of weird part about it, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do kind of thing. But I'd get these messages, and somehow I was at least open enough to let the messages come through space, through my body and out my mouth, to carry on this conversation with both you and Greg.
Right on.
And that was probably, for me, the first conscious time. I'm not saying that on a subconscious level that hasn't happened before, but that was the first time at a conscious level it became clear to me that, wait a minute, you have this connection to Spirit, and if you'll just shut up and listen, questions will come, and you will communicate with people, and somehow it will be a different experience for everyone concerned. And to me, that was profound.
Right on. Right on. It really was profound. Okay, so what Chuck just described was his perception of 3 years ago. Because here's what happened to me 3 years ago. So I call Chuck up, and Chuck comes down. And you have to remember, this is, you know, Goldie is always going to be Goldie, you know, whether I'm selling radio shows or cocaine. You know, Goldie's just being Goldie. But the truth is, I had never sold radio shows. I didn't. My brother is a master salesman. I tend to sell things, you know, that people are addicted to or they already know what's inside them. That tends to be the products I sell best. I can sell soul, and I can sell addictions. Beyond that, you know, I'm going to leave the rest up to my brother, the master salesman. But what actually happened is I had a three-year relationship with the gentleman, Greg Norman, who was the first person who introduced me to radio. Now, I've done other shows where I talked about me and Greg had a very, quote-unquote, what I call a soulmate relationship, in that, you know, I dove in hard with my relationship with Greg and with the radio station. I committed myself to $20,000 worth of other people's money to invest, and that blew up in my face. I committed myself in a lot of ways, somewhat naive, but, you know, listen, we're all here to be honest, and very much egotistical. I mean, I was involved in this radio situation hands down because my ego was on fire. I can't even tell you, when I would go to the Unity services at the Unity Church and letting everybody know I got my own radio show, and how they fondled over me because they wanted to share on the radio. And I'm telling you, the power that brought to me was, it was tangible. I could feel it. So for Chuck to come from North Carolina, you know, to Providence, Rhode Island, first and foremost, all because, and that was my setup. Greg didn't really have much to do with it. I mean, he had some technical parts, but it was my connection. That was the first thing that I was like, wow, again, you know, look at me go. Look at me make this all happen. Now, so essentially what happened is Greg was working as a security guard, which is, you have to know how funny that is, because he was also showing me homes, these like $1 million homes he had keys to, telling me they were his. And I had a dear friend of mine that after he showed us one of these homes, she said to me, he works as a security guard, so where's the money for all these homes? You know, where's the money for this home? Not all these homes, but this home. And I was like, I don't know, but Greg's telling me, so it must be real. It was like, I was really, I was really very enamored with everything he was offering. Everything he was sharing with me, I wanted to be real. So for 3 years, I had a relationship with this gentleman, not sexual, not in any way, but very intimate and very committed. So Chuck shows up, and I'm thinking we're at the height of Chuck's going to come into Providence, Rhode Island, and we're finally going to get – Greg used to have this saying. He used to say to me all the time, we're going to become billionaires. I mean, this boy did not think small. There was no thousandaires or hundred thousandaires or millionaires. No, we were going to become billionaires. And I was buying into it hook, line, and sinker. So while Greg went to work as a security guard during the day, me and Chuck would spend, like 5-6 hours together. And the things we would talk about, he kept asking me questions that really brought me back into a place within myself, because I kind of remember him at some point going, well, what do you want? And, like, there was a profound moment of clarity that Greg Norman wanted to be a billionaire. Golden Hawk wanted to be a messenger. And there really was no, I didn't need 9 or 12 zeros after that in order for that to be. I mean, I really saw clearly that the motivation behind Greg and behind me was two separate paths, two very distinct separate paths. And, you know, as much as, you know, Chuck clearly brought this to me, but I'll tell you, Chuck, the way you brought it to me was that you let me see it for myself. Because I'm a son of a bitch. If someone tells me something, and I have been told by other people, especially when I was quote-unquote doing the raising of the funds that I invested in Greg. You know, a lot of people told me you can't trust Greg, and I was like, of course I can trust Greg. I know who I can trust, and I can trust him. You know, and that was a false belief.
Right.
Oops. So it wasn't about, you know, Chuck didn't come in and go, oh, okay, you know, it's time for you to leave Greg. Chuck really came in and went, you know, he kept going to me, what do you want? What do you want? Because Chuck's instinct, from my perspective, was he immediately got that my goals and Greg's goals were not in harmonic resonance. And, the truth of the matter is we had Chuck up for 5 days. After 3 days, we literally, I told Greg in the meeting we had in the hotel room, I'm done. You know, like, you're still my friend. And, Chuck, I'll be honest with you, I knew that day that my investment was going to go down the toilet, you know. I remember it. Yeah. He was like, oh, no, you'll still get your money back. And, I knew that day it wasn't. But the truth is, I couldn't support the lie anymore. That it became so profoundly clear to me that, you know, in all honesty, I'm on the Titanic and I need to cut my losses and get off. You know, the helicopter's arrived. Do not send it away. It's time for you to go, meaning me. And that was truly one of the most profound days of my life, because I've had certain days where I had to let go of things that I have wanted so very badly. Things like that happened with my father after my mother died. There are profound moments in a person's life when you recognize the growth is going to come, but it's going to come from an extreme disconnect of what I was already literally up to my eyeballs in. And here's the profound thing that happened today. Chuck, about a month ago, when we decided that he was going to come on the show today, shoots me a manuscript of a book that he's writing. And I don't want to get into too many details, or it's up to you. Tell me if I'm, you know, I don't want to overstep,
no, you're fine.
You're
fine, girl.
Okay. So I'm reading the manuscript a few weeks ago, and, you know, I see Chuck, and I was like, I just want to make a comment. I was like, you know, boy, you're writing profoundly. The manuscript is essentially Chuck's spiritual awakening within himself. And that's why when he was just sharing that, he was hearing things, but nobody else was hearing them. It's because it's the journey within. And I know of this journey within because anybody who's, you know, genuinely walking their truth right now knows the journey within. We all have to let go of the outside world that we want to be what we want it to be in order to become truly who we are, which is the journey within. So I read the book, and I read 50 pages of it, and, you know, gave him a review going, it's awesome, but, you know, Goldie having to be Goldie, I was like, we need more dark, Chuck. There's more. Where's the pain in the book? You write all about the joy and the elation, but we need the pain. And of course, Chuck laughed and went, "Up, oh, that's Goldie. I'm sure that's." Well, today I knew Chuck was coming on the air, and I was going to do my normal routine. You know, get dressed, go to the forest, have my interaction with Mother Nature, come back home, and have a great show. Well, it comes down to the last, like, three chapters of the book, or two chapters of the book, Chuck has put in this journey of his, of the within journey, Chuck has put the story of when we met with Greg in Rhode Island. I mean, it's in the book. And I swear to God, I was floored when I read this. It was like, I had no idea Chuck was having these profound awakenings, and indeed they are profound. Leading up to, and Chuck, the funny part was, as I was reading his journey, which, by the way, is all a true story, and, you know, he will be publishing it, so it'll be available. It's not published yet. But when I read that you had a message from a hawk in the city, a woman named Ravenhawk from a lifetime prior that showed up in this lifetime, don't you know, a part of me went, well, what about Golden Hawk? Golden Hawk. And that's when it hit me. Before I even got to my chapter, I went, he did say to me once that I had a profound effect on him. And I swear to God, Chuck, I thought you meant the radio shows we were doing. Like, maybe that connected you to somebody, or I didn't know what, but I'm telling you this. I'm telling this live to Chuck right now, literally live as it happens. I was floored by the chapter that you shared with me in the book, because not only was it one of the most life altering moments for me, and that's it, literally was life altering to let go of Greg Norman. I mean, I literally said to Greg the words, "I'm out." And you have, I mean, I can remember to this very now moment how incredibly courageous I had to be to genuinely speak those words. But it was something that once you awaken, you can't go back to sleep. You can't go, oh, but he really is a good guy. And it wasn't about him being a good guy or a bad guy. It was, he wants to be a billionaire, and I could really care less about being a billionaire. I mean, I'm not motivated by that. And the truth is, it's a lie. For me, it was a lie, because there was nothing authentic in me that was going, yeah, that is me. Everything was going, no, that's not even, that doesn't even begin to touch who. And it's so funny, because at the time, I didn't even know really who I was. I mean, working the Mystical Mother Earth show, I have definitely found my voice and my message. Just so you know, Chuck, that's my other radio show that I do with my best friend. We host it, and it's just us talking about our weekly journeys of what we're experiencing. The good, the bad, the ugly, the transformational, all of it.
Right.
And it's a very profound, you know, it's like, it's deeply me, as opposed to what I used to do, which was promote the guests and promote their work and share my wisdom in that. But It was really about, it didn't have, you know, I wasn't really supposed to talk about my stuff. I was supposed to talk about their work.
Sure.
And we're messengers. The Hawks are messengers. See, because I think you're Chuck Hawk Gallagher. That's what I feel. I don't even think it. I feel it. You're Mr. Hawk. Yes, yes. So what do you think about that? This is just so profound today. It really is.
Well, Goldie, you know, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the experience when it was you and Greg. And let me say this. We all have our journeys. We all come here in human form to learn, to grow, to experience at a spiritual level. And if we're willing and open, we will have those opportunities that will really awaken us. And in most of the cases, it's not like we get to walk out one day and say, okay, I'm ready to be awakened. It ain't going to happen that way. It's going to happen in ways that you don't expect and you don't understand. My ego was leading me to, okay, this is going to be great for Chuck because I'm going to become a radio yada, yada, yada consultant, and that's how I'm going to make money. Now here's a reality. So let me play this kind of, let me rewind the tape, except for the young folk listening, they don't know what the hell a tape is.
Disc one.
What's a tape? I mean, it's just on a disc on a little thing that you hold in your hand. I mean, I don't understand. There's no rewinding to it. It's just on a flash drive. But anyway, you know, I speak a lot at a lot of places, and what got me the other day, I just got to switch
That's
it for a second.
Yes.
But I'm sitting there, and I happened to be in a seminar, and I was talking about Dan Fogelberg. And there was this young lady, and she said, who's Dan Fogelberg? And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. I mean, the leader of the band, same old Lang Syne, you know, Run for the Roses. I mean, I'm naming off the songs. I'm hearing him in my head. You know, he died of prostate cancer, so I'm channeling Dan Fogelberg. And she's like, I never heard of him. And I said, well, you've heard of Mick Jagger? And she said, no. And I'm like, oh, my
what?
God, I must be freaking getting old. I mean, she was like 22 years old, never heard of Mick Jagger, but she knows people out there that I can't, like, comprehend. So I feel like I'm getting old. But anyway, I say that to say, in 2008, because of a series of choices that I made, I ended up losing a really, really nice job, a $250,000 a year job. And so I left Dallas, came back to the Carolinas. My wife and I came back to the Carolinas, and I was in that space of trying to figure out what next. And it was a very quiet space. It wasn't like there was something that just immediately jumped up. And so this book that you're talking about, one night I am in bed, and I couldn't sleep. Now, let me say this. I sleep great. So for me to have a bad night's sleep is a real challenge. And I could not, for the life of me, get to sleep. So I got up, walked downstairs, flipped open the laptop, and just started typing. Because I was like, I got to do something, because right now just laying in the bed ain't working worth a damn. So I start typing. And I start off with Message from the Mountain. That was the title of this paper that I was typing, that I had no idea why the hell I was typing it. I just freaking couldn't sleep. And so I sat there. I don't really know how long, maybe an hour or two. And this story unfolds. Now, I don't write. I guess some people who are skilled writers have an outline and a storyboard, and they've figured all of the angles out, and then they just put, you know, they create the skeleton, and then they put the material around it. Well, that ain't how I work. I don't work that way. I just kind of like, okay, if it's something I'm supposed to write, then Spirit will tell me, and I write it, and it's done, and that's it. And so by the time I got sleepy, I had written two chapters, the very first two chapters in this book that you read, and finished today. And I'm like, where the hell did that come from? I mean, really, where is this coming from? And so the next morning, I tell my wife about it, and I said, you want to read it? And she said, yeah, sure. And she sat down, and finished the two chapters, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, I don't know where that came from, but I hope there's more. So, okay. Huh. So, and this is the oddest statement that I mean, it's just weird to me, but I have to be physically high. I don't mean high as in like grass or something like that, but I mean literally at a higher peak. So most of that book was written while I was in the mountains of North Carolina or at 35,000 feet in an airplane.
Okay.
But the higher I was, the easier it was for that to come. And I had, to the folks that are listening to your show, I had no clue where this was going to go. It wasn't structured or planned. It just came from spirit through me, through the fingers, onto my MacBook, and became this manuscript. And so when I came up to Providence, I didn't have a clue this was going to be part of it. I was into the third chapter, maybe the fourth, and it had no clue where this was going. And so when I got to Providence, what really struck me was probably three things, all of which seemed to be fairly profound. Of course, one of them I physically experienced. The physical experience was somehow I've become this conduit. I hear something. I ask this question. I don't know where the hell the question comes from, but it's coming from someplace, so just ask it. And something is really taking place that is far deeper than what anyone expected. And that was true for you. It also was true for Greg. Because have our journeys. And, Greg's journey may be, I'm going to be a billionaire. But the reality of it is Greg's journey to be a billionaire, if in fact that's truly what the journey is, was not connected with you.
Right. Right.
So it would have been just as horrendous for Greg, if that's his journey, to be connected with someone that's not at the same vibration as it would be for you to be connected at this deep spiritual level that you are connected, but hooked to someone who's all about just the money. So
right.
The two of you both had perfect spiritual vibrations. You just were connected in a non-sympathetic way,
right?
And so
it would never
work for him, and it wouldn't work for you, and all I became was nothing really more than a conduit to say, but let's look at it at a deeper and different level. And here's the outcome to me that was very profound, and I say this a lot in the seminars. Number one, every choice has a consequence. So whatever you choose, there's always going to be a consequence. So if the choice is really deeply ego-based, then you're going to be dealing with ego-based types of consequences. And I live those, as you said. I had ego-based consequences when I went to prison.
Right.
That's when I lived the life of, it is all about the money and the things and the so forth and the so on.
Okay.
So those consequences are very real, and they suck. But at the same time, that's on the physical level. But at the same time, they also can be some of the most profound experiences that you'll have. I often tell people, I did not enjoy my time in prison. It really did. It sucked. However,
right.
It was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right on.
Because
right on.
I was stripped from everything that was that material, tangible, external definition to being forced to having to go inward and say, well, what does it really mean to be a Chuck Gallagher?
Right.
And not, by the way, that I'm perfect, because obviously, I've made significant enough mistakes that it cost me a pretty nice job in 2008. But here's the other side to that. So I can sit back and say, well, it cost me a job in 2008, and I can have a get on the Whambulance if I want to and have a real nice pity party.
Whambulance, okay.
The Whambulance. Oh, I'm mad. I hate it when people get on the Whambulance. Oh, look what happened to me, and it's not fair. Wham, wham, wow.
Yeah, right on.
Get
right
off
on.
The Whambulance.
Yeah.
We're creating our experience, and we will create what we need to get where we need to get, whether we are conscious of it or not.
Right.
And
well, and the beautiful part,
Go ahead.
Exactly. Well, and the beautiful part is for all the listeners to know is, you know, what you're sharing, what I'm sharing, the dark path did get us to go within.
Yeah.
Meaning
oh, yeah.
that's the beauty of the dark path. The broken heart, scanned and conned, the death of a loved one, all these things that really express themselves or show up in our lives as the deepest painful things we experience are the game changers that almost 9 out of 10 times, I mean, you really got to be a hard-headed idiot to not go within when these significant dark experiences come into your life. That they're designed by us to take us out of the matrix and start us on the journey within, which is our souls.
Yeah, that's absolutely
yeah.
true. And most everybody that you and I come in contact with, or people that can really express some incredibly profound stories, and I don't mean this to sound really terribly judgmental, it may, and that's not the intent, but in most of the cases, it isn't because of living this glorious, sun-filled, sparkly
yeah.
life with ever a problem. Most of the time, that really deep profundity that can come from us and that really impact other people is because we've lived that dark night of the soul. And we
exactly.
know what that experience is like, and
yeah.
therefore we can relate.
Yes. Yeah, true. And by the way, dark nights of the soul happen. There's more than one.
Oh, yeah.
There's
oh,
several.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
but indeed, but that's exactly, you know, because one thing I can tell someone who's been through their journey based on, you can hear it, the judgments, people tend to be very judgmental who haven't collapsed yet. In other words, their world is still functioning from a paycheck, from basically the conditions that we've been brought up to believe are, quote unquote, the American dream.
Yeah.
That's...
Yep.
You know, and that's, you know, because not everybody's doing this at the same time frame. But you always know when you've spoken to somebody who has had something profound happen in their life. And for me, the telltale sign is there's a groundedness to them. There's something, presence. I can feel people's presence when they know themselves as more than just the five senses and this lifetime.
Right.
That's the truth. So,
right
on. Yeah.
Well, it was profound with you. Profound especially from the perspective that what I thought wasn't reality. What took place seemingly was profound, and the real challenge that came from that was. I came back less concerned about the, oh, I'm going to be a radio consultant, yada, 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 because it became very clear to me that whatever it is that I am here to do in this life, Spirit will reveal as it needs to, and I don't need to rush it or worry about it. I just need to have the faith and trust that whatever that will be. And
right,
and soon thereafter, you're in a different radio environment, a different show. And your life has changed. And
yeah.
When we as humans, when we get to a place where we're in sync with what our soul's purpose is, that's the best way to
yeah.
put it. We're in sync
yeah.
with our soul's purpose. Then stuff starts to really synchronistically happen. I mean, we don't
yeah.
have to work hard to make it happen. It just happens because it's supposed to happen because we're right in that flow where we need to be.
Yes, yes. I live this truth. I mean, and more and more every day, you know, because this rabbit hole is truly, I mean, it's deep. It's amazing the more I surrender, the more, the word I use is being in harmony with life. When I'm in harmony with life, there deep things, just like why I didn't go to the woods today and stayed to read the rest of Chuck's book. I'm telling you, it was like I was compelled. And when I got to those last few chapters, I went, oh, my God. I mean, it was like, because I'm so excited to be talking about this on the show. It's like a it's like a 3-year cycle that is coming to a head, because first I meet Chuck and he, you know, truly is assisting me in going through the profound change of letting go of Greg. But I'll tell you, when Chuck said to me on the last time we did a show together, which I think is like 2 years ago, or I'm not even sure. Time is very blurry. It's been a while. Right at the end of the show, towards the end of the show, you had said, you go, Goldie, you've had a profound impact in my life, and I don't think you know that, or something to that effect. And I just remember that stuck to me like a jellyfish. I mean, because those are triggers, and not all triggers are negative, not even remotely close, actually. It was a trigger, and it was just always something that it was like, I don't know if it was ego or not, but I know it stuck with me, and I was like, wow, you know, I wonder what that's all about. And because, see, the funny thing is, if I didn't read Chuck's book, which I've had for over a month, this radio show would have taken a very different turn if I didn't have the information of what he shared, because it wasn't just about me being in the book. Chuck was sharing such an intimate journey of spirit speaking to him and him becoming a channel and a messenger and the synchronicities that's going on in his life. It's like, I mean, God only knows, I love speaking about this stuff. This is, if I'm going to do another reality show, these are the kind of things I want to talk about. You know, I don't want to quote-unquote sell books. I want to share intimate conversations that happen to sell books. That's how go ahead.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you know, here's the thing that well, you know, let's just talk from a very practical perspective. If a book is meant to be a bestseller, it's going to be a bestseller because it somehow emotionally touches people. But right. Here's what I found in the terms of writing. The writing is as much for the writer as it is for the reader. And so I've gotten to a place where I've got to be careful how I say this, because I don't want it to, you know, I don't want to manifest something that I don't really want. But I'm not as concerned about, oh my gosh, I'm writing this book with the intent that it has to be a bestseller. That's not where it's coming from. Okay. What I'm finding is that what I'm writing is because it's deep and intimate for me. And if it touches someone in a positive way, I'm blessed, and I'm profoundly thankful for that, but I'm not looking at it as this. It's not like I'm Stephen King saying I've got to write my next scary novel so that I can keep my bills paid.
Right.
That's not
right.
That's not the point behind it. The thing that Goldie that you wouldn't be aware of is the experience with you was an opening for me. It was an opening of understanding that. I actually am one, not that I didn't know I was connected to spirit. I knew I was connected to spirit, but I didn't know I was connected to spirit from the perspective of being able to, and I use the word loosely, but to be able to channel a message.
Okay.
That was new for me. That was a new experience. And
right.
So then following that, in 2010, we'd, you know, done a radio show or two together. But I was connected, a lady, a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, she and I have worked together for 14 now, almost 15 years. But in 2010, she was really at a pivotal point in her life, and she was getting ready to leave and make some fairly profound changes. And she and I were having dinner. It was August of 2010. And in that dinner conversation, a very similar experience happened. She said something, and I'll never forget, we were sitting there, it was a little Mexican restaurant, and John Mayer's song, Say, was being played. The song that says, say what you need to say, say what you need to say. It's a really cool song. And it hit me, I needed to say something to her. She was talking, she was a little bit in the wambulance, so to speak. She has lived an incredibly hard life. I mean, in ways that I can't even comprehend and imagine. And And I made the comment to her, her name is Mary, and I made the comment to her, I said, Mary, you do realize that all we are is actors in each other's play. At spirit, before we ever get here, we know what we're coming here to do. We know why we're here. In spirit, we know what the objective is. We're going to play this lifetime Macbeth, or the next lifetime Romeo and Juliet, or whatever the hell play you want it to be. Grumpy old man, I could care less, pick the play. But we're going to come into this life to play. And we, in spirit, know that we're going to interact with each other, and we're actors in the play. So, you know, you can sit here in life, in physical life, and get all wigged out about shit that's happened. Ooh, I shouldn't say that. Pardon me, but stuff that's happened.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay?
Okay.
But we get all wigged out about stuff that's happened until you stop and say, wait a minute. This is my freaking play. I get to create my life, and I've actually chosen the actors. Some of them play bit roles. They're just in for a moment and out. I mean, I played a bit role in your life. I wasn't in your life until 2009. Now it's a bit more important, but it's not a day-to-day role. I come into your life, and I slide out, and I come back in, and that's the role that I play, but yet those bit parts can have really significant impacts in how we all ultimately find that path that we're on.
No, and right. Well, I have to say one thing, and I got to interrupt real quick.
Sure.
This hit me in the shower. Chuck writes some interesting experiences he has when he showers. I think many of us, when we're in water, have some amazing experiences. I believe that an opening is happening with us once again. I don't know what it is, Chuck, because I wanted to save this for the air to share this with you. But that which is coming, the whole, you know, down the pike 2012 as we go into 2013 and move on,
sure.
We will dance again.
I'm sure.
Because, I got that in the shower, and I was like, I'm going to share that on the air. So who knows, maybe at some point it would be more, you know, it would be, I don't know, that daily, but, you know, we would be more in our lives than we have been, you know, for the last couple of years.
Well, things, I mean, everything happens for a reason. And so the challenge often becomes just sitting back and accepting, okay, here it is, this has happened. Now, I don't know, other people may look at it different than I do, and I'm really cool with that. I'm the kind of person that if something happens, I'm probably going to step back for a moment. I'm going to look at it and then just ask Spirit, what is it that I am to learn from this? What is the reason this is taking place?
Okay.
And with Mary, I suggested very simply, I mean, it was really off the cuff, that, you know, we're just actors in each other's play. Well, that was life-changing for her, because all of a sudden, instead of being a victim, she was a creator. Now, she might step back and say, which was fair. She said, well, why would I have created in my life rape, abuse, abandonment, etc.? That's a damn good question.
Of course.
But that started for her what she refers to as process. But process for her is going to God and having this dialogue, this spirit dialogue. And Goldie, I've been privileged to be a part of that with her. She has the dialogue. I don't. It's her dialogue. But her dialogue she shares with me every day that she has the dialogue, which almost is every day. But she will share this, and good God, she's probably written 3,000 pages at this point in time. But she'll share this dialogue, and because of it, it will cause me to pose more questions. I will get a message from Spirit, and I'll ask her a question. We will talk about her programming, for example. Because as a child, we all get, you know, we all come into this earth, if we think of ourselves as a computer, as an empty hard drive.
Right.
And we get to be programmed. Everything about us in the first, you know, years of our lives really kind of programs our perspective of things. And
Absolutely. So,
you know, if we sit here and the programming is filled with viruses, let's call it that, okay, then that probably means we're going to be creating some kind of crappy responses in our life. You know, if we've
okay.
got a computer and the computer is full of viruses, it's not going to function real well. It's going to have a
okay.
lot of challenges. So then the question becomes, well, you know, gosh, but if we can recognize, wait a minute, we came in clean. So if we've got all of these kind of crappy viruses, well, what if we reprogram that? Why do we have to have that? What causes that to be the only way? Maybe I just need to understand it's just how it was programmed, and if it can be programmed in way A, it can also be programmed in way B.
Right on.
And if I can get that program redone, reprogrammed, focused on, you know, I can completely change my life.
Absolutely.
So you really, for me, opened the door to believe that, you know, I can actually get messages from Spirit. Mary's mm-hmm. consistent process has opened the door for me to trust what I get. So that when I do get something and ask the question, I can comfortably trust that it's coming from a pure source, not just from, you know, some egotistical thought.
Okay. Okay, right on. Well, I mean, don't, you know, totally. And, you know, what's so interesting is the journey that you had from, you know, from going to prison to becoming the motivational speaker. See, what's so beautiful about it is once you have, you've already changed your program from, you said prior to going to prison, you know, you were all about the stuff. You know, you made the money, and when you didn't make the money, you stole the money because you were going
right.
to have your stuff.
The stuff, right.
So the stuff, and you know, God, I see this, I was seeing, you know, dollar signs in my eyes. It was the stuff, you know, and it's so funny. You can say that it was about helping the people, but, you know, we're here to get real. And, you know, okay, yeah, it was about helping people, but it was about the stuff. When I was working with Greg, he talked about $1 billion buying stuff. He, you know, and he brought up helping people, but I was seeing yachts and condos and I was playing, you know, the $1 billion, you know, desire. And so when you journeyed from coming out of there and literally getting yourself back into the grace of life, because what you focused on in your motivational talks was integrity and responsibility of our choices and awareness. See, for me, that's already the reprogramming starting, because you're no longer the actor in your play, or just the actor. You're now the director, because
right.
knowing integrity is when I don't look over my shoulder. It's so funny. I have even always known this, even when I sold coke, which was clearly against the law. There was something about integrity, like you don't step on people's shoes, like you don't step on the cops' toes, and like I never flaunted my money. It was so funny because selling drugs taught me a lot about integrity, and I know people are going to go, that's impossible. It's like I've been lately really focusing on living in the paradox and
right.
showing everyone how my personal experiences they look one way, but what they're teaching me is the reprogramming of my experience. And in the reprogramming, I am actually experiencing something quite different. Even though on one level, on the five sense level, it looks one way. But because what I'm programming from the director's cut point of view, you know, there's a sense of fluidity and harmony and authenticity with what is, which is life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, the way I shared
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Because that's
you
what
know,
I think is so helpful to you, your integrity. I think that's extraordinary.
Well, you know, the reality of it is, when it's all said and done, we don't get to take any of this stuff with us. It's yeah. here. We've created this lovely universe. We have access to things, you know, iPhone, where you can get music through the air and plug a little something in and listen to it at will, and it's wonderful. And it's not so, and I don't want to leave this impression, that I feel like stuff is bad. The question okay. becomes, are we focused so much on the stuff that we are willing to sell ourselves and our soul short? And if the answer to that's yes, we're going to have some tough little consequences to have to play with. If on the other hand, you're in the flow, and I often say when I'm doing a presentation to groups of people, and let me say this. I want to kind of deviate for just a minute because I think maybe to the audience it helps a little bit. You know, I recognize something. In fact, I had a lady up in a Unity church in Vancouver, British Columbia, say to me, "You speak in tongues." And I was like, say what? I mean, well, this is a Unity church, and we don't talk about speaking in tongues. I understand that from the Baptist church and so forth, but I don't speak in tongues, darling. And she said, she looked at me like, you know, you dumbass. But she said, no, you don't understand, Chuck. She said, you bring a message of hope and integrity and choices and consequences. You bring a unity message when you present, but you present to corporations who can't have unity messages brought. In other words, you can talk to a corporation in corporate language and yet get the message across. So you can speak in the language they need to hear, but deliver the message that Spirit wants.
Right.
And I was like, well, now that's just as cool as it can be. I was like, you, right on. Okay, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Now, there's a little ego on that one. It's like, yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm thinking, oh, you're hip.
Yeah, but Chuck, I see that as well. I see that as well. That's absolutely, she's right. I mean, in my humble opinion, she's right.
Yeah, well, so the thing that hits me now is, so when I go out to speak, I'm marketed as a business ethics speaker. Well, why? Because people will pay to get that message. Now, you and I, we can be real honest with each other. If I said to someone, I'm going to bring you a message from the mountain, they would be like, say, what? What am I going to get with that? I don't get it. You know, why would I do that? And not that that would never take place, but the question becomes, if my role in the world is to bring a message of choices and consequences, of integrity, of understanding more of the human nature of people and how we do make the choices we make, but more importantly, what comes from them, even if we think the choices are bad, like me embezzling money from people that sent me to prison, you know, but when you look at it, what really was the lesson that was taking place for me and for the people for, you know, whom I embezzled money from? What did we all learn from it? What did we get from it, and how did it help us on our journey?
Right on.
Because to those people, they might be needing to learn the lesson of forgiveness.
Mm.
Well, how are you ever going to learn the lesson of forgiveness if you don't have somebody to forgive?
Yeah,
so maybe I'm, you know, not, and I know that some people get real wigged about this. It's not that I'm justifying being a thief. I made restitution. They were paid back. The physical money they did not lose. They lost trust. I showed them the experience of what broken trust looks like, and I gave them the experience of being able to forgive.
Right.
And if that becomes a value to people, then, you know, so great. Let's talk about the broader perspective of what we do in life versus looking at it sometimes from that very limited perspective of, oh, my goodness, I've been victimized.
Right.
Or I have victimized people because I have victimized people in the earthly sense, and I have been a victim in the earthly sense, and there are things to learn from both experiences or both sides of that continuum, shall we say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the truth is, we have all been victim and victimizers. We have all been that. Whether, and you know, I don't even think we really need to go as far as last lifetime. I really think if you look at yourself with honest glasses, not rose-colored glasses, but honest glasses, you'll see that, you know, because I personally find it, it's part of the journey of understanding the creator aspect. Like,
right.
one of the awarenesses I got recently is that on our way in, so to speak, to this dimension and the dynamics of this polarized dimension, we came in, like, pretty much with our awareness intact that, like, we started this journey knowing we're creators. And what we do is we come down into each level in each dimension, more and more separated through each dimension. And what we're creating is experiences from kind of like a cocky point of view, because we know ourselves, you know, we came into this experience whole. And then as we drop in dimensions, we become more and more separated.
Right.
So what the journey back up is all about is now, and I'm speaking of this first person, what I'm now realizing, the pain that I'm experiencing on my way up, is that not only did I create things, but because I am truly one with everything that's here, I have affected other things in my creations. And on the way up, we now have to experience the effects of our creations. Because
yeah.
that is just as much a part of learning and remembering that we are creators.
Right.
Because we're in a situation where we are inextricably connected to each other, that when I cut a tree down, you know, maybe the woodpecker lost its home. And that's just, of course, one example. You know, we've all been creating for millenniums, you know, and so it's no longer, I can't be a victim of my own experiences and effects. I mean, I can be, but there's nothing to blame. It's, you know, eyes wide open. Let's look
right.
at this with all honesty and say, okay, so the integration, which is the allowing myself to feel that which others felt when I first came into this creation, is what brings wholeness back into me. And of course, it's an alchemized experience. What we were when we first separated, that experience, when it comes back into us, brings with it the experience itself. So it's not like we're being put back together exactly like we were when we came in. We're more than that. We are being put back together plus the experience. That's
right.
That's what the pain is. And it's a brilliant system. I mean, in my humble opinion, it's a brilliant system. Because everybody, it's an equalizer, you know, because I know I was one cocky son of a bitch when I came in. How do I know that? I'm still a cocky son of a bitch. I'm just realizing more and more, like, oh, wow, you know, whatever I create, recognize that you're going to get the back end of that, too. In fact, however it's going to be within this entire cosmos, an entire universe, if others are hurt by your creation, I will feel that. Because that's the nature of oneness. You know,
yeah.
that's, you can't escape it.
No, you can't. And that's very, it's a very profound statement that you make. You said just seconds ago, you know, what you create, you ultimately will be the recipient of. So if I create an unpleasant experience for someone, then that means I will ultimately be the recipient of an unpleasant experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very simple and easy way to put it. And it just hit me, really, and this is kind of how the synchronicity thing kind of hits. Had an experience with my stepdaughter not long ago. And
okay.
it was, it wasn't bad. It was just contentious.
Okay.
That's the best way to put it. It was just one of those things, you know, Chuck wanted X, she wanted Y, and there was a little test of wills as to whether X or Y was going to win. And
okay.
and it was really, it was kind of funny. There's two parts to this. Number one is, so we had the X and Y thing, which ultimately, of course, because it was stepdaughter, put my wife in the middle, which
right.
was therefore unpleasant for her. And so ultimately, okay, stepdaughter, you win. That's fine. I can step aside. You know, world won't come to an end. But I played in the wambulance a couple of days because, you know, my
okay.
feelings were hurt and I didn't win. It was like, wah, 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 wah. And my wife and I were writing to families at Thanksgiving, and she was reading the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And she got into this one chapter, and she said, well, you know, let's look at win-win situations. There are some people in this world who their lives are based on win-lose. In order for me to win, someone has to lose. Now, with all due respect, that's my stepdaughter. In order for her to feel loved because of her original rearing, for her to feel loved, someone has to be displaced because she has to be the center of that attention. So if you're the center of attention, then somebody else can't be. Win-lose.
Okay.
There's a lose-win. My wife is lose-win. I would rather lose so that someone else can win and be happy than I would have conflict. So she lives in the world of lose-win. Okay, well, that's interesting. Chuck lives in the world of just win. Now, this is ego side of me, of my humanness. But the world I live in is I want to live in a world of win. I want to win. I don't really care what happens. I am perfectly happy
with
Goldie.
I'm with you, Chuck.
You know?
I like, yes.
I mean, I'm happy if Goldie wins. That's fine. I don't care. I want to win.
Okay.
I want to win.
Okay.
Everybody can win. We all can win. It's like if there was a lotto and we all won the lotto, I would be happy. I don't feel like somebody has to lose it in order for me to feel good. But I don't want to lose.
Okay, right on.
Okay. So I've really been sitting here toying with this in my head because, you know, there's a side of me that says, okay, well, all right, I like to win. That's who I am, and by golly, I'll claim that. And I'm claiming it. And then this beautiful spirit named Golden Hawk says, what, 3 minutes ago? Well, you know, the experience that you create for other people is going to be the experience that you will have later. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. If I create an experience for my stepdaughter that makes her feel less wanted and less loved, that means, that I'm going to experience in my life a feeling of less wanted and less loved. Now, do I want that experience? And I don't think I do. So maybe I need to reframe what the hell we were even talking about and why that insignificant squabble even existed. Because the impact of the squabble was she felt less wanted and less loved. And I don't really want that for her. And I damn sure don't want it for me. So why would I create that? And then we ask ourselves the question, well, how do we get messages? And the answer is they come up every time we have a conversation or we're around people if we're just open to receiving what Spirit speaks, which that just happened through you.
Right on. You rock, Mr. Gallagher. And you know, perhaps that situation came up so you would share it on the radio.
There's a lot of, and that's the thing. You know, I'm not smart enough to know why everything happens, and when it's happening, you don't really know when it's taking place what it is, but maybe it is to be able to share it on the radio. Maybe it is to be one of those circumstances where I look back on an inward basis and ask myself, why the hell was I even concerned about this? That was the least significant issue that could take place, far more significant to show people that they are cared about and that they're loved and to be able to give that than it would be to win at the cost of someone else losing. I guess that I have to say, and you know, this is a human side of me, that doesn't mean that you're going to, take all your clothes off and give it to the homeless person that's sitting on the street or whatever and walk around naked just so that you can experience being freaking cold,
Well, that's clearly not win-win. But I'll be honest with you. This is something, because what's so interesting is, see, it's this redefining, right? It's about, we know we want to win. And first of all, I can't even tell you, big hug to you, Chuck, because See, most people are so altruistic in the way they speak. You know, it's always service to others, service to others. And the truth is, that is true. But if you are service to others before putting yourself first, that's an artificial bullshit thing that it won't come back. This harmony works when it's organic and it's authentic. And the truth is, we all need to put ourselves first. We are in charge of our universes, period. We are responsible. We are in charge. Now, what's so interesting about this, though, is you thought to win, and you're clearly okay with everybody winning. So then there's the understanding of, see, our programs, when they're running, the programs have to be readjusted. And I'll tell you, the biggest tweaking mechanism that I have found is humility. And holy shit, does humility hurt the joints and the bones and the muscle? I mean, you can't believe it. Initially, it's one of the most painful acts you can do is being humble. I mean, genuinely humble, where the trigger is not the focus of your anger, but gratitude is focused on the trigger, because you recognize it from the person, the place of self, is that I want everybody to win, and it's got to. Until I can feel that, I'm not there. I'm not there. The program is still running, and so my boyfriend does this for me. He has blessed me by being everything I don't want. all in the package of love. And just so, because I haven't spoken to you in a while, my boyfriend is autistic, so we don't have a lot of touching going on between us. We don't have a lot of verbal communication going on between us. These are all the things that, if you ask Goldie, you know, a couple of years ago, fill out, you know, Prince Charming, you know, being right. Rubbed for 4 to 6 hours a day, you know, being spoken to, that, you know, I'm the love of his life and the light of his life. All of this stuff was, you know, my program, in quotes, Prince Charming. And what in actuality is happening is he is teaching me through the energetics. This is energetics, that we are speaking the language of energy. He energetically is the template for me to be sovereign. And so he loves me, but I don't get, every time I want that Prince Charming to show up, no, it's not, you know, spirit has, because I used to say, why am I so attracted to this man? What possibly could he have to offer me? He's not what I want, but I can't leave him. I can't fucking leave. I want to, but I can't. And I don't even have that anymore. Now I have, wow, because it is through the chiseling of humility, where he would just continually anger me because I wasn't getting what I wanted, for me to see when I flipped that belief, and it was genuine, and it is now genuinely flipped in me. I'm sure there's still aspects of it that have to be tweaked.
Right.
But he no longer triggers me. Now, the blessing, because I am the sovereign being I want to, that I've always wanted to be. I'm independent and I'm sovereign, and I have a boyfriend to boot, which, in my opinion, to get sovereign, I would have had to been single. But no, the miraculous ways of the autistic person, I get to have a boyfriend and still be sovereign. That's miraculous. It's miraculous.
Yeah.
I couldn't make that stuff up. That's how spirit works.
That's classic.
Really?
Couldn't make that stuff up. Yeah, you're right about that. You couldn't.
Right. So. So it's the churning of humility. And you know what? If you and I'm not telling you what to do by any stretch. What I do is I track myself, because I look for the day that when his behavior doesn't trigger, and that's when I know it's actually the new program is online and functioning.
Yeah,
and that is
actually
a day to celebrate.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to put it, because in the conversations, many conversations that Mary and I have had, she and I again, can't fathom the place that she has come from and the incredible progress that she has made. But it's interesting because something will come up, and because I'm not living her life, I don't physically experience it, I wasn't programmed that way, it's easy for me to see the trigger.
Okay.
And then she'll get triggered, and I'll say to her, Mary, you're triggered. Oh, you're right. I've been triggered. And the interesting side to that is we've both laughed and both said, you know, when the time comes and something happens, whatever that is, and you find that you just accept it and there's not this churning emotional response, when the trigger no longer is there, then the healing is done.
Right. But you don't look to eliminate the trigger. It's not about eliminating the trigger. It's about eliminating the churning, the inside part.
Exactly. Yeah. The trigger is going to be there. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, something happens, but it doesn't trigger you any longer.
Right.
And that's the kick in part. I use this simple analogy with Mary. I said my mother had a hip replacement a little over a year ago. And so, you know, here it is, you're, I don't know how they do that stuff, by the way, but, you know, your butt's cut open and they put titanium in, and I guess when you go to an airport security, you beep. I don't know. But,
okay.
But, you know, you're sitting there and you're trying to get everything to work again, and it's not comfortable. And so what do you have to do? You've got to go through the pain of rehab in order for her today, because I'll say, hey, Mom, how's your hip replacement? Oh, I hadn't thought of that in months. I don't have any pain. Well, she doesn't have any pain now because she went through the pain, the hurt, to heal.
Yes.
Now, she could have set her happy little butt on the couch or in the Lazy Boy recliner or whatever and not gone through rehab, but for the rest of her life, every time she moves a certain way, she would always be reminded she never was willing to go through the pain to heal. So, therefore, she will never heal and always have the pain. So the question then becomes, well, am I willing to have the pain in order to heal?
Well, and it's also because I have a friend of mine who did knee replacement.
Uh-huh.
He never accepted the replacement as being a part of him.
Right.
So it was always something artificial is inside me. And see, that is so he's doing rehab, or he did rehab, but he can't heal because he's still looking at it as something outside of him, inside of him. And it's like, no, that is you now. Your muscles and your tendons or whatever the hell is happening are growing over that, through it. I go, if you don't own it as you, it'll never work for you. How could it work?
Absolutely.
You don't own it. So I just wanted
absolutely.
To hear that.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, because we have the power as humans to be able to turn that on and to turn that off. And, you know, I hate to do this because I completely lost it a minute ago, and now it's come back to me, so I want to go there. But you made this comment about the experiences that we have really are threads through a lifetime, through lifetimes, not just the experience that we have right now. And I think, of course, your readers haven't, or your audience hasn't had a chance to read it. It's not available yet. But Message from the Mountain.
And they're your readers, not mine.
my readers, your audience, whatever we all are here on this radio show, ladies and gentlemen. I need to turn on the radio voice. Now you can buy Message from the Mountain. No, just kidding and having some fun.
I know. It's all good.
But the thing is, that story, as you have read, really weaves in. Here's what happened in this lifetime that carried to the other, and how that kind of thread really intertwines us so that experiences that are happening today are profoundly created. It's like the mold has been cast and set through my creativeness in different lifetimes to be able to bring this forward and to be able to see it and to be able to understand it. And of course, mine is set with Native Americans, and it's because there's a part of that that is very much a part of me. Not that it started there; it's just that's the starting point for this experience and this particular expression. But boy, how powerful it will be as spiritual beings as we go through 2012 and into subsequent years of our lives and the experiences that we have to really be able to profoundly understand we are far more than we have ever dreamed in this life that we are. And if we will be willing to, like the guy with the knee replacement, if we'll be willing to embrace that that's the truth of us, then, wow, what an incredibly exciting life to be able to live.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's so funny because the healing is so within, you know what's, his healing is his perception.
Right.
Hello? Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're right.
Well, because if we're going to take something into our body, that's like I'll tell smokers that want to quit smoking, you can't quit smoking because you hate cigarettes. Because the more you hate the cigarettes, the tighter they'll hold you. I know I had to quit smoking. You know how you quit smoking? By loving the cigarettes. Loving it to the point where I really got the message, which is what it was. The message of the cigarettes were, you don't need us anymore to take a deep breath. You can take a deep breath now without us. We're done. And I went, wow, that was profound. Because then I really recognized that as the gift, the cigarettes were a gift to me because even though I was inhaling, you know, crap from, you know, all of it, I was taking deep breaths. And there is a profundity about these, like the small action of taking a deep breath, whether it's filled with nicotine or not, is truly profound. This is what the expanded awareness is showing me. Things that we thought were meaningless have deep meanings down the rabbit hole. Much deeper. You know, being quiet, spending time alone, deep meanings down the rabbit hole. You know, these are the beginnings of the flipping the programs from what I call anti-life programs to life-enhancing programs.
Right. Yeah, life-enhancing that's a great word. That's a great, great definition or description of the kinds of programs that we can experience. And and often it really comes back down to the very simpleness of just being open to that possibility that what's happening is happening at a far deeper level and with far greater meaning and significance than at the moment we experience. And while we're experiencing it, doesn't mean, I've had people say to me, well, you know, I've never had an experience like that, and they get all like, you knew it when it was happening. And it's like, no, dummy, I didn't. I didn't know when it was happening what the hell was happening. Dude, connect the dots here, man. That's not the way it works. You don't know when it's happening what's happening. It's just let it happen. Be okay with what's happening. Be willing to look at it from a different set of eyes, just like you opened to me a different set of eyes. Now, you know, I'd like to say this. I'm a smart guy. But, you know, I'm smart enough to know that if I create an experience for someone that's negative, I will get that experience back. Now, you know, I could sit there and intellectually talk about that every day. Mm-hmm. Not a problem. Until I am in an experience where I'm not thinking about it because I am literally embroiled in it, and I don't recognize what the hell I'm doing. And the only thing that I will say is I don't look back and say, oh, I'm so sad that my stepdaughter had, you know, a conundrum. Well, she had a conundrum, but maybe she needed to have the conundrum in order for me to be able to connect better with that understanding, because that understanding may help people who hear on this radio show. And maybe that understanding ultimately gets woven into a book someplace, and maybe that book someplace, as we go down the rabbit hole, helps someone else understand, and maybe we decide that we, as beings, want to be kinder, gentler people to each other because we want that in response.
Yes. Yes. Yes, God, yes, yes. I sound like I'm having orgasm. That tickle.
You do, and you're making me very hot on this end. Let me just share with you. I mean, you've talked about being in the shower. You're saying yes, yes, yes. And before we started the radio show, you said you were tingling. I can't help it, Goldie, but I'm in love with you. What can I say?
Ah, the feeling's so mutual. though, Chuck. The feeling is truly mutual. I absolutely love and adore you. This is because I, you know, today I'm going, wow, why didn't this conversation take place? And this is the mind, of course, because, you know, we'll you beautifully write about that in the book. And, of course, you know, I still have my mind to deal with, which, you know, the mind is going, why didn't you read the book in full a month ago? Why didn't you have this conversation with Chuck? You know, why wasn't he on the show earlier? And, you know, and then I take a deep breath and I go, because it was supposed to happen today and not
exactly.
a moment before.
Exactly.
I can really feel that. Yeah.
I mean, how would you, with all due respect, you know, that's like saying today you've had a really tingly, exciting experience. I mean, it was very energetic for you, okay?
Definitely.
Got it.
Definitely.
Understand it. And you can feel it and you can talk about it. It's kind of like, you know, meeting that person for the first time. You look in their eyes and, you know, God, I just fell in love. Well, that's all cool, but you can't talk about that same experience a month from now, because not that you don't remember it, but you're not in the moment of experiencing it, and therefore it would never come through on this radio show and create the energy that's been created today between you and I.
Oh, right on. Right on. I did notice the profundity of this all happening today, and here's our show today. I mean, I really did notice that when I was reading it, and of course, when I read, you know, the part that floored me, it was like, oh my God! So, see, this is the trusting of the flow, and I mean, the synchronicities that happen in life when we just allow it. Because I'm telling you, this beautiful jellyfish, and I say that. Because that is what that statement was the last time we spoke. When you said that, it was just this thing that always kind of stuck with me about Chuck. Like, oh, wow, you know, he said I had a profound impact on him. I'm sure it was partially ego, but it wasn't all ego. Because I do want to talk about messengers. Because, you know, when I first recognized my totem as being a hawk. It was a red-tailed hawk. I knew that before I had received my name, which, by the way, two things I want to share with you. First of all, my birth name was Cindy. And the reason why I changed my birth name was everybody in my family and most of my friends all called me Sin.
Oh,
and
really?
For most of my life. And I literally reached a point in my awareness and went, I can no longer acknowledge Sin in affirming. Like, are you here, Sin? Yes, I'm here. I just, it wasn't a resonance within me.
Right.
But when I was at Hawk Rock and the vision of Mikus Makis, who is the spirit. In fact, Chuck, at some point I would love to get you down here for a hike to go into Hawk Rock and the chambers. When I went to Hawk Rock and Mikus Makis showed up in my vision, the name he actually gave me was Golden Hawk Feather.
Okay.
Which, when I read your story, how it morphed, I went, wow, wow. Oh, and by the way, I get itching in my feet all the time that I can't scratch, and my shoulders. I mean, there really is a lot to our awakenings or our experiences that are in alignment.
Right.
You know, and I was like, wow, wow. But I remember when you wrote in the book, I don't even know what her birth name was. Like, I got to tell him today. So, I just thought that was, I thought that was kind of profound. Not just the itching. I guess we're covering all aspects.
I appreciate you.
You have to read the book to know what I'm talking about.
Appreciate you covering all aspects of it. There, Cindy. And you said my birth name was Cindy, and I'm thinking, get along home, Cindy, get along home. And you have come home to the truth of who you are, which is really cool, too.
Right. Yeah, no, and I look at it as it took the darkness in me to find the golden hawk, the golden light. I no longer, I don't have shame around my sins. I really have no shame, no guilt,
right.
No shame. Just like you, you know, where you can openly share that, you know, you embezzled. It doesn't, there's no power of that in your life anymore. If anything, it's projecting you to the spiritual realms, you know, because of the understanding of what that, the gift that that brought you, and the gift that sin brought me is profound, is truly
right.
Profound. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, when you put it all together and you look at how your life has come into existence up to this point, and the cool part about it is, you know, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't have to know. We just know that in alignment with Spirit, it will be what it needs to be, as long as it needs to be, until it no longer needs to be, and it will change, whatever mm-hmm. form that may take. You know, there's a calmness about that, a comfort about that, and that's something that I think the people who listen to your show regularly really can resonate with you, and more than likely in their lives as well, is being able to find that level of comfort of knowing that whatever's happened has been okay, and it's been perfect as it needs to take place, as bizarre as it may seem to people looking in from the outside.
Exactly. Beautifully stated. Beautifully stated. Exactly. Exactly. So failures become, you know, like we were saying, failures become not failures, but the guidance to go within. See, because the whole key to the journey of letting go of the outside world is going within. So one way or another, Spirit's going to, you're going to let go of the outside world, whether it's a relationship, a job, your home, whatever it is. There's got to be a way to get you to let go of it so you can really experience the authentic self, the self that doesn't age, the self that doesn't gain weight, lose weight, be pretty, be ugly. You know, none of that stuff. It's really the more intimate, eternal. It's what I consider the virtuous side. I mean, because I love, you know, playing the games of being virtuous where, because, like, for me, integrity is so much, you know, if I had superpowers, my superpower would be integrity. Because
right.
It's such a protective space. Because I don't want to be conned anymore. I get it. I conned because I do. I was lying to myself. Lie to yourself, and the world will show up and lie to you. No problem. But if I have integrity in all my choices and I hold transparency in those choices, then it must be returned back to me. And
right.
and it truly is the life I live on the show. You know, as well as privately, it's who I am.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And when we live our lives with that vibration of integrity and honesty and transparency, it does become difficult for what do I want to call it? Some of the stuff that people would sling on you, the mud that people would want to sling on you, it doesn't stick. There's no stickiness to it. You know, I will openly say I'm not proud that I embezzled money from people. That's not something I'm proud of. But I can't change that physical part of my life. But what I can do is have a different response on a positive basis to how do I react to that? What do I do about that? You know, if I, example, I had a headhunter the other day calling and talking to me about a job that he thought, man, I would be perfect for. And, you know, he got through 2 minutes of his presentation. He said, you know, you work in the death care industry and you've been a CPA and we need somebody. And it would have been a perfect job. And I said, you know what, I really appreciate you calling. I really thank you. That's very kind of you. It touches me, but I'm not your candidate. Because the reality is, yes, I have been tax partner in a CPA firm, and yes, I did testify before Congress, and yes, I did write articles, and yes, I did speak, but I also embezzled money from people and went to prison. And I don't think your client wants that heading up this organization they're looking for. But I subscribe to something that the late, great Zig Ziglar used to say, which is, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. It's a fundamental spiritual principle. So let me help you. I don't expect any money from it. Let me just help connect the dots for you with some people that might be candidates. Because maybe they're needing an opportunity, and it's not for me, and I'm okay with that. But I'll be transparent about it. So you know, because I wouldn't want him to be embarrassed by putting my name before them and then finding out, well, my God, he's a convicted felon. What would that wouldn't make any sense. That would not benefit me, and it certainly would not benefit him. But what if there's someone out there that really needs a new opportunity? And that call to me opens the door for someone else. And that's how we all are messengers for each other.
There it is. Well, and networking, I mean, today, all these LinkedIns and linked up and hooked up and hooked in and Facebook, I mean, it's all about networking and, you know, because don't you get that there is a sense that every single person has something really, I try to stay away from the word special, but authentic. Something authentic about them that I find that if we all just show up authentically as we are, and I like to say that the authentic part is important because this isn't about just what quote-unquote sells in the public, because they have really created the program that it's very Stepford Wives out there, which is partially why I stopped, I don't know if you noticed on my website, but as of my birthday this year, February 25th, I set a new format up for another reality show. It's like I don't want to just sell books and sell meditations that get you ascended, and because I really do recognize that, see, the authentic gift of integrity, more than likely I'm going to find out you did something that doesn't have integrity, because that's how you learned integrity. I really just have that wisdom to know that. So I'm not looking for the Harvard graduates. I'm really looking for the homeless guy who, you know, like, shit, Neil Donald Walsh was homeless for 2 years, before he started speaking to God. And I say that meaning I look for the things that are truly not, quote-unquote, sellable amongst a lot of people. And if they are, it's because they've broken into their own mold, not because they fit into the mold. It's hard to explain, but I get the sense that if we would all just be ourselves without the shame and the guilt, you know, if you like to do things that are weird, you like to dress up, if it's a man and he wants to wear women's underwear, well, by golly, put the underwear on. And, you know, and if you're a woman and, you like to masturbate with things other than your human hand, then by golly, masturbate with things that are other than your human hand. And I say this because these are the topics and the subjects, sex and fetishes, that in my humble opinion, this is where the real authenticity of the creativity of all of us lies, and it's being so suppressed by the programming we all get when we first come into this, you know, into our culture, especially in America. So, you know, and it's not that I do shows about sex or anything like that, but I look for people who are willing to own their shadow sides, you know, who are willing to talk about the dark sides of who they are, and not from a space of, from, you know, apologetic and I hope God forgives me, but from the space of, listen, I know who I am because that shadow took me to the place where I found out who I really am, which is the space within, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for people who are listening to the show, and I know there are likely many who find that space, who find that really dark place. And I've had so many people say, to me following, and that this relates to the first book, Second Chances. It's like, how do I find that second chance? I mean, people will say to me, you know, you've come out on the other side and you seem to be doing so well, but I'm a convicted felon, and I'm this and I'm that, and they're owning this, the darkness. And it's like, experience the darkness. That's fine. Experience
right.
it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't define you. It isn't the definition of who you are. And in my life, in the midst of the deepest part of the darkness, when it first came to light, and no one knew, but when it first came to light for me that this masterful scheme of manipulation, financial manipulation I created was collapsing, and I considered suicide, it was very deep and very dark, but someone, and I don't know who it was, and I've said this before, I think, on another show, but this gentleman said to me, and I can hear the words today, he said, "You have made a terrible mistake, but you are not a mistake." And when you can separate what we do from who we are, then the world changes. I can do some bad stuff, so to speak. Or let's put it this way, make choices that certainly fall outside of what we all know to be the truth and integrity. And I will eventually experience the consequences of those choices. But the reality is, I am not that choice. It was a choice. I am not a mistake. There is no part of my existence that is a mistake, and there's no part of the existence of any listener that you have that's a mistake. Every listener that's on this show or will be listening to this show is a child of God, is a perfect creation that is here for a reason in spirit. However you define spirit, whether you choose to use the word God, universe, it doesn't make a difference. The title, the label is nothing more than a label. Mm-hmm. But we are perfect where we are here right now. We just need to be willing to live and experience the perfection of who we are.
Right on. Right on. Right on. And people really think that it's... They don't grasp the concept that self-forgiveness, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even have to forgive myself anymore because my awareness has brought me to the space of, if I came into a dualistic environment, which has polarized experiences, good and bad, right and wrong, up and down, cold and hot, well then, why do I need forgiveness for being cold, dark, angry, wrong, bad? I mean, listen, it's part of the journey. It's inherent. You can't escape it. You're here. So what, you know, and people, I get it, because a lot of people have said to me, well, that just gives you room to be bad some more. It's like, that's true. But then we go back to what I shared earlier. Remember, I can continue to do hurtful things, but that just means I get hurt. See, because the beauty is it's inherent in the intelligence of everything that's here. So the intelligence tells us whatever we put in, we get back. But the intelligence also tells us it's here. The duality is here. So trying to escape duality while you're sitting in duality, well, that's just kooky bird. That's just kooky bird. If you're sitting in a pile of shit, you can't say I'm not sitting in shit. You are sitting in shit, and there's actually power to acknowledge that you're sitting in it, because the whole game of secrets, shame, guilt are energetic. What I call, from an economic experience, they are drainage of energies that could be well funneled to more productive spaces in your creations, where they are literally leaking out of you with, like, there's no productivity in it. It's very much, in my humble opinion, serving an agenda that is very parasitical and very real. A state of being where others suck that part off of us. Guilt and shame are food for others. And I get it. That's a totally, you know, this is Goldie being deep down the rabbit hole, and we don't have to get into that. But from an energetic economic perspective, the emotions of guilt, shame, envy, jealousy, all of that, all of those feelings do not serve your reality. They serve another that's serving off of your reality. That's right. My humble opinion on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Will not argue with that at all.
Right on.
It's a fun experience, Goldie, with you. It really is. It's really a blast because here we are, a month and a half or so ago, we connect on Facebook, and I see your postings from time to time. By the way, I love the Krillian photography one. I thought that was just as cool as it could be. I had that done, and my wife had it done, and it was so very strange because here I am, and I have this like little rainbow of colors, mostly reds and golds, more gold a little bit than red, and she's sitting here in this pure purple, and I'm like, damn, girl, you're all into the purple, you're all kind of spiritual there, and here I am, this just bundle of energy, but you and I connect back and forth, and it's so powerful that you were willing to allow me to be a guest on your show, but more importantly, that you were the first person that I, outside of my wife who's read part of it, shared Message from the Mountain with, because I truly value your insight and your opinion, and I felt like, although I have not the first clue how I'm going to sell or market the book, because it doesn't fall into the genre that I typically am involved with, if Spirit gives me the language to write it, then I am obligated to put it together and make it available somehow, and I appreciate so your insight and the fact that you were willing to wade all the way through it to perhaps find the gem toward the end.
Oh, Chuck, I love you. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. I'll be honest with you. After today's conversation, I would like us to be friends. I would like to be able to call you and share things with you in day-to-day life. The message I'm getting from this is, why aren't you talking to him more often? I don't know if that's possible, but I would like that to be possible.
That's absolutely fine. You can pick up the phone and call me anytime you want. I would welcome that opportunity. I love the idea of being able to connect with people and to know that when that connection happens, something is taking place. I don't have to know what it is. Just let the door open and let the universe work in its own unique and mysterious way, and something very positive will come as a result.
See, now, do you know how rare it is to hear someone say that? Because if you don't, I do. And I only want to surround myself with the people that understand divine timing, right placement, and not from the mental construct, because there are people who are still very much creating their lives through their minds, and I get it. I'm not. And so it's a very... It's not, because there's a famous saying that Robert Young has shared with me, and I feel that I'm mastering this art, which is, do nothing but don't be lazy. Because I'm very proactive in my own tracking, in my own what I see happening in my life. I love discussing perceptions and awarenesses with people. I just recently had the experience to know that I'm a shapeshifter and that I empathically pick up on the people who I get close with, i.e. on the telephone mostly, and I'm realizing that their authenticity in my interaction with them is almost like that. That I don't know if you watch the show Heroes, but there was one of the heroes had the ability that I think if they killed somebody, I don't remember exactly, they would get the magic of that person. Now, of course, I don't need to kill anybody, but I'm realizing when I connect with people, there is a mystical energetic exchange, and it is not just me getting their magic, it is also my magic into them. And being the person that I am, you know, the cocky son of a bitch that I am, I know my magic has value. I know it does, as much as, to be quite honest, I know your magic has value. And I'm not talking value in dollars and cents. I'm talking value in, because my goal is perception. The more I can see, the more I am aware of, the more complete my purpose becomes. That's what I know for my purpose. It's about communications and perceptions. That's my my ball of energy. And this whole, it's amazing that we're doing this conversation publicly, because it's very intimate. And yet, of course, in your ability to be transparent and my ability to be transparent, you know, I have my listenership is about 1,000 people a week now. I mean, I've come away since WARL, and I can remember saying I want to have these intimate conversations like I would on the telephone, and I would love it if people could just be a fly on the wall and hear it. And today, that's exactly what's happening.
You've spoken and manifested what you want, and that will continue to reverberate through the universe and attract more people to make this exactly the experience that you really, really wanted whenever you and I first talked in Providence.
Right on. Oh, my God. See, that's what I feel that. I have no idea how that is going to be, but it's like coming back together at this level where it is. Because, see, the book, I can relate to this level. And I don't know how to market either, but I do know that I have not marketed myself at all. And my listenership has increased by, you know, from back in the day it was about 24 people to now it's up to 1,000 people a week.
Sure.
You know, so because I really believe that spirit takes care of the marketing. This is the mind wants to take care of it. But that is part of that, the kind of the egotisticness of when we come into this space going, because I can create it. But just because we can create something doesn't mean it's in our highest good to create it. Because when we create, there's a push on the universe, and so it will push back. Where when spirit does the attracting and all of it, it is very organic and very fluid. And it's relentlessly self-empowering, relentlessly self-empowering.
It absolutely is. And, I mean, think about, we don't know, you and I don't know today, of the 1,000 or so people that will be listening to this show, whatever week it airs or however that takes place, or maybe it's live at this point, but whatever the circumstance, we don't know exactly what that reverberation is. But what we do know is this: there are powerful truths that have come out. They've come out of this intimate conversation that's taken place for close to 2 hours. And perhaps the 1,000 people that listen would say, you know, I do know someone who can connect with, you may have made a mistake, but you're not a mistake. Or who can connect with the power of finding that second chance. Or who can connect with, you know, I've been thinking that I've been getting messages too, but I've so doubted it. And yet they hear this conversation and learn, don't doubt it. Just go with it. Trust it. It's happening, and it's happening for a reason. And maybe those 1,000 people will take this show and post it on their Facebook page and say, hey, you need to listen to this show. And 1,000 people multiplied by, what, 300 friends to 5,000 friends, you never know who it's going to touch. And that's the cool part for you and I. Because we don't get, our egos don't get to know who it touches.
Right.
We just know that it will.
Right.
And so if we we can be satisfied.
Absolutely. Well, because, or something like what happened today, where 3 years later you'll read a book, and your story will be in somebody else's book as an awakening experience, and you'll hit the floor and scratch your head and go, wow. Wow. You know, it almost seems like we don't get to know immediately, but somehow what comes around goes around. We get to know. We do.
We
get to know it. We do. And it could be on your deathbed when you have that, you know, the life review. I mean, we get to know. We get to know, but again, it's not, you don't even do it because you get to know. You do it because there's a compulsive understanding that who we are is who we get back. And, you know, when we've had enough pain in our lives, well, by golly, I will learn humility. I will let, it's not that I learn humility. I will let humility carve into me who it is I desire to be, because that's what's happening to me, you know? Okay, we are at the top of the hour, top of the second hour. And I want the people to know where they can find you, Facebook, the book Second Chances. I posted ChuckGallagher.com in the chat room, but for the people who aren't online, can you share with them where to get, where to find
your
work?
Absolutely. Well, ChuckGallagher.com, you can go to the contact page. My email is there. My phone number is there, and I get calls all the time and happy to take them. The first book, Second Chances, is at secondchancesbook.com. That's secondchancesbook.com. And, Goldie, the easy thing is if you've got a question or if there's something that comes up, fire me off an email or pick up the phone and place a telephone call. We're in a global world right now. And it really is neat with electronics what we can do in terms of communicating, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you name it. So I'm very much open to connecting with folks and to knowing that however they come into my life or I come into their lives, we're there for a reason, and it's just part of the journey.
Right on, babe. Right on. And like I said, I won't be a pest, don't worry, but there's something about when I talk, and I'm telling you, I have perceptions that I would love to share with you, insights to just the organic, very similar to your journey. So, I mean, we'll see how it all works out, meaning it'll just be organic. Because I wrote your number down.
That's cool. Not a problem.
Yeah, so thank you so much for being here today, Chuck. This show really turned into way more than I knew it was going to be. And I really am. I'm moved. Today I am, you have moved me all day, and I'm literally, my temperature is warm. It's been a very energetic day for me being in your presence. So thank you very much for that. I really appreciate that.
Goldie, it's been my honor. It was my honor whenever you reached out to begin with, and it has continued to be these numbers of years, and I know we will not lose touch with each other. Thank you so
much. Right on. Oh, I love you, Chuck. I love you. Be well.
Be well. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, babe.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.